You're listening to the Imagine Capture Create podcast. What's happening, everybody? Thanks for checking out episode 34, can you believe it, of the Imagine Capture Create podcast. We've taken a few weeks off, probably about what, Logan, 4 or 5 weeks since we've been around the table doing a podcast. So super excited to get back at doing that. Also super excited to take the podcast somewhere else. We are in the, we call it the Hamiltonian office. I'm actually here. Let me back up a little bit. I'm here with Logan Powell, and Trace Fowler is going to be our special guest today. He's allowing us to use the Hamiltonian studio space, I'll call it, and he's done some really cool things up here, him and Sean Spurlock. Got a vision for something coming out, releasing in July. I won't let that surprise out, but stay tuned. If you're in the Hamilton, Ohio area, look out. It's going to be some cool stuff. Usually we have Josh Morrow here with us. He's out today, so we just thought we'd kind of get back together. Typically in the podcast, we talk about some kind of deeper subjects on the part of creativity. So today we thought we would kind of reflect back. It's mid-year. Just kind of get the juices flowing again, get back around the table and talk about kind of just reflect on where we started at the beginning of the year, maybe some vision we had for ourselves creatively, and kind of where we're at today and how that kind of matches up with everything. So a lot of times we talk about worthy mentions and how the week's going. So, Logan, you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I was trying to think of worthy mentions. It's been so long since we've done this, I forgot to think of one off the top of my head.
Right.
But I can say one thing, if we're going to kick it off here, is I think about this time last year is when we even talked about doing the podcast.
Yeah.
It's been about a year kind of talking about doing it. We're already 34 episodes with this one, and you started like, it feels like 5 or 6 different podcasts.
Yeah. I think I'm over 70 podcasts now.
Yeah.
Participating in. So
you're a veteran.
I'm getting kind of more comfortable at this point. So yeah, it's cool. And actually we talked about podcasts and Trace's here, you know, not necessarily this podcast, but in this space, right out of the gate. Was that, how long ago, Trace, was that?
The original idea to start a podcast in here seemed well too long ago to have the first one now, but I'd say the beginning of this year, somewhere around there, and you started pushing me to do some podcasts, and I just I wanted it to seem like I had the right subject matter to start one.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to push the envelope until I felt like I could do it well.
Right.
And that's, that was, I think, at the beginning of the year. If I had to guess, I couldn't. Don't hold me to that, though.
Yeah, sure. And you bring up a good point. I think it's all of us creatively, or even just business, because you know, you being an entrepreneur, it is, you do kind of hesitate and stutter towards a direction if you don't have a clear mission, or you don't have that clarity that says this is what I want to convey or this is what I want to communicate. And I have found that for me that happens all the time, you know. Same way with video. I'm still kind of stuttering in video. I know I want to be a part of what I do, but I'm still trying to figure out. So yeah, it's that's, I think we all battle that. But Trace, let just kind of take a minute and introduce yourself to the listeners and what you kind of.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Certainly.
Who are you?
I am a man of many things. I guess really on my end, I was born and raised in Hamilton, and I went off to school and was gone for about 10 years and had a couple kids, and you realize that you miss family more than maybe you did when you were in college and those types of years. And I wanted to move back home. So when I moved back home, really the idea of just seeing the revitalization to a certain extent in Hamilton, it was never that way when I grew up, you know. It's at that time a lot of industry was leaving, and there were boarded up windows downtown, and then downtown wasn't a place that you theoretically wanted to be. And when I came back, I just felt a little inspired in a way to try to do something, and it turns out that that would actually lead into something that would give me entrepreneurial success. I wouldn't have guessed that or ever dreamed of that. So I'd say to run you through that really quickly, basically July, it's almost, again, you just mentioned a year ago talking about something. About 2 years ago, I'd be remiss not to say that we weren't meeting for the first time, grabbing a cup of coffee and me chatting about this vision I had about 2 years ago, about starting up a magazine that just highlighted local things that were going on and community members that were doing great things and businesses that were having success. And We decided to start that in July of 2017.
Yeah.
And we really, the first thing we did was try to sell ads to see if we could pay to print the magazine. And then we actually published it in January. So for those that don't know, there's something called the Hamiltonian Magazine that we publish each month. And the main focus is obviously what I just mentioned, community activities and positive things that are going on. And if you live in Hamilton or you're Hamiltonian, if you will, then it's something that you'd probably enjoy reading. So we found out early on, about 2 or 3 months into publishing the magazine, that we found a niche. You kind of get a sense of something, whether or not it's going to have success or not have success. And we kind of felt like we should do this again to where we could actually make it a full-time job. Because realistically, the one magazine was just, although you could say it was a business, it was more of a hobby at that point.
Right.
And so we started something called the Fairfield Focus in Fairfield, and then we had another individual jump on and help us start something in Middletown. And due to our uncreativity, we called that one the Middletonian. So, we have three magazines.
Awesome.
And like you mentioned, we have plans to launch something in the sports arena in July. And and obviously we'll work to create something that will launch that. But that's coming July 15th. So a lot has happened within 2 years. And it's hard to believe that it's only 2 years. Sometimes you think that you're in the daily grind. It's like, this long drawn out process. You've been doing it for 10 years, but to think back, it's only been 2 years and there was nothing. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So. And we all met 2 years ago.
Yep.
Right. And, I mean, I think it's very fitting. You're on the podcast. You're on the podcast, you know, because one, you just want to kind of sit in, see what was going on. You asked us to come up here and record a podcast in your new studio set up here, which I love. I'm already digging the vibe already a few minutes in, but you know, a lot of people, I think in creativity, I think we channel our thoughts, I think, to the arts a lot. You know, we were all born with creativity within us. And I think even business and entrepreneur, there's so many, all of us create something. Mm-hmm. And I think even just the Imagine, Capture, Create, that fits exactly what you've done. You had you imagined something, you went out and captured, or replaced that word with collect the resources you needed to create your vision, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's cool that you've kind of joined us and,
certainly.
And it's awesome.
I'm glad you had me. And I will say this, I think I sent a message to the guy that's coming on with us for the sports thing yesterday. That was his last day at his old job. And I literally said to him, you know, that I think one of the biggest factors of us being successful or not being successful is our creativity. If we do not try to think outside the box and we try to be like everybody else, then we'll not win. We will not win. So, I think creativity in and of itself is an aspect of a lot of success in a lot of different areas of life. Not just, you know, whether you mentioned art, whether you mentioned business, whether you mentioned anything. I think happiness is drawn very closely to creativity. So,
Cool. Well, did you think of a worthy mention? I see you got your...
Well, I mean, it's sort of... Actually, I was going to mention the fact that before this, we always get our True West coffee, except for Trace, because he doesn't drink coffee. But while I was standing there waiting for the coffee, I noticed they had a Hamiltonian magazine sitting there out at the coffee shop, and someone was walking up looking at it. So I just wanted to mention that.
Sweet. Awesome. Awesome.
Your vision 2 years ago, now it's at a coffee shop.
It's a real thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to watch.
As Logan almost spills his coffee.
Yeah. All right. So we were talking about reflection, and Trace, you kind of touched on a little bit, but, you know, swing it around, put the mic back with Logan, and, you know, 6 months into the year, you know, you had a vision going into 2019, and, you know, where have you settled out so far? Is it matched up close, or is all of a sudden it just kind of something hit you from
I feel like the blind it's, side? Whatever my vision was before the beginning of the year, I don't even like remember that well because it's changed into something completely different of what's happened.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty interesting so far. I will say, like last year, you know, we even talked about on the podcast, filmed my first wedding with you out in Missouri.
Missouri, yeah.
And
destination wedding.
Yes, which was insane.
Big time.
But I never thought I would be able to film any more weddings after that. I was like, you know, I don't know if I enjoy this or it's hard to get that opportunity to even film a wedding. It's a big deal. So I've been lucky to already film two more weddings this year. And hopefully be able to film more. And I never would have thought that at the beginning of the year.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, been able to work with some other cool people with True Artist Studios, Shane and then Jordan Utter. Been able to collaborate with them and get hired.
So. Cool, cool. Yeah, I was thinking this morning, you know, often I think in life we get busy and we don't. It sounds silly to say it, but we don't take 5, 10, 15 minutes to sit and think about what we've done. You know, maybe I'll speak for myself. I often think about what I didn't do or what I didn't do good enough, or I'm not at the place I wanted to be January of 2019. And here it is July, coming up on July. And I think that mentally doesn't help us. We need to take time and give ourselves credit for the opportunities we took, give ourselves credit for the successes, how no matter how small it is, even if it was, you know, you and I talk about the YouTube, even if it was just consistently doing something to kind of nudge us forward, or, you know, give ourselves credit for working through the obstacles and the challenges that we face, because it's not all roses, right? It's not all, it's not all happy all the time, right? You know, we don't get anywhere unless we face those in those uncomfortable positions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what's kind of cool about this, is just taking that few minutes and saying, you know, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey and the process. You know, that's where the fun is.
It's very easy to overlook it too. I think generally speaking, it's easier to focus on the bad things or what we didn't do than the good things, the things we accomplished.
Sure, sure.
That's your cynical nature. I mean, I think that the other day you mentioned reflection before we started here, and I just thought, just as far as how often have I reflected or at least thought back on what we've done with the magazines or just really anything in life, and the answer is really not a lot. But for whatever reason, I don't know why, the other day when this was the first month, July. So for those that don't know, we typically produce the magazines about, you know, 20 days before the month starts. So we're working really hard, you know, the 5th through the 10th of the month prior to when that magazine comes out. So for July, that was about 3 weeks ago for us.
Okay.
And we got through it. It was the first time we had all three magazines that went out in the same month, because not every publication that we have is a monthly publication. So just the random nature of how they go out. It's always been, you know, we have one this month, you know, two again, maybe one again. This month, July, was the first time we had all three. And just, I did actually reflect. I sat there and we got all three of them that all said, you know, July on them. And it was kind of like, this is kind of crazy, you know, just because I literally sat there and thought, how do we do this sometimes? You know, how do we do this? Because I think that you're always picking on yourself. You're always asking yourself how you could do something better, which is a lot of the reason you have success. So I don't want to say that I don't want to ever do that.
Correct. Right.
But I do think that reflection is something that I rarely ever do. And it's just funny that I did that for maybe 2 minutes, and then it was obviously back to trying to figure something out, or I was trying to get back to an email that I was supposed to send. But sure. I just sat there and thought, I'm not really sure how someone that never grew up in the publishing era, didn't know anything about anything when it came to magazines, which was a great advantage for us, We didn't know any rules. We didn't know any limitations. Yeah. We didn't know anything when it came to anything.
That helped you probably think outside the box.
Absolutely. You know. I mean, there's people that probably run magazines their whole life, come in and see our operation and think that it's the most ridiculous operation there ever was known to mankind, and that we're so unorganized and this, that, and the other. And then we produce this product, and these people, you know, maybe people are like, wow, this is really nice. So it's worked for us. We have our own style, but I think that ultimately when we reflect back, it's kind of hard to imagine where you can get in such a short amount of time. So like, that's the biggest inspiration there is of anything that we've done, is that the time frame is really not that long to complete or successfully do something that you didn't. What you all just mentioned was, you know, at the beginning of the year, which is 6 months, which, you know, is really not that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you can do all these different things that you never planned on doing, which is very inspiring, if you will.
Sure. So. Sure. Yeah. And that's in that window, you know, I think statistically, if you can make it past the 5-year point, or there's some statistic that says that small businesses or startups or whatever, you make it past that point, then you have the chance to continue and have some success at it, you know. And I think, you know, and you guys being at that 2-year point now, you know, and already having a lot of success and things just really taking off for you is awesome to have that momentum, because, you know, we all face that, you know, all of a sudden we hit that stride and, you know, then more challenges will come, new challenges will come our way. So, yeah, I mean, just talk about your space here without, again, not the surprise, but you guys have come into what was originally your office space, and now it's kind of becoming like a media studio, right?
I wish we had a before and after picture of this place.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys. I mean, you guys, the best part about this is when folks that have seen it before, you know, even from the very beginning, you two had seen it, maybe even when there was, you know,
before you moved in,
before we moved in, just got the keys. We even did a little renovations, obviously, before we even moved in, which helped spice it up a little bit. But as far as the studio goes, and you know, the secret in regards to the sports thing, I wouldn't say it's too much of a secret. But the idea was for us with this office to try to create an open atmosphere to where it felt like it could be a multi-purpose place, and you could do something like this, and then the next minute someone could go and they could try to do, you know, what would present as a TV show, or and then obviously we always have our space for our toys, you know, whether it's shooting basketball or playing ping pong, we have fun. And I am not afraid to admit that we do have a couple Xboxes back there, but I will say this, that we have not played those in a long, long time, and we used to play them more than we probably should. So
but the basketball hoops up
the basketball hoop, yeah, that's a very important piece, and I won't get into, you know, how important I think that is. I just think that you should have fun at your workplace, and that, it, you know, you cannot live and breathe every single minute of seriousness all the time. Right. And I think if you allow yourself to have fun, it opens up the chance for some creativity thought. And I'm not saying that just because of this, and that's the idea of nature of your podcast. I genuinely think that if you get out and you enjoy yourself, your mind allows yourself to go to places that it traditionally wouldn't have if you're inside of a cubicle or whatever it may be, or a boardroom or an office, and everything's always tight and serious. So we do have fun. We do those things. So as far as the office goes, that was the idea. And then natural light, if you haven't been here, we really wanted to make sure we had that to our advantage. Right. You know, we rarely, if ever, turn the lights on in here, just because, you know, we have pretty much windows that surround this entire
There's
room.
Eight windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it'd be nice if they didn't have the columns and they are all just clean, you know, all the way around, that would be unbelievable. But you know, I don't have the money to suggest them to fix that or change that. It's been here since, like, I don't even know what year, probably before the 1900s. Yeah. But regardless, you know, it's nice to see outside when you're in here and and just kind of take it all in. And we try to keep all the colors light, obviously, and we knock down the wall, and that kind of changed the whole entire room from there.
Cool. What's one thing this year so far, just this year, that maybe in July, something you thought you were going to do, or you were something that was going to happen that hasn't transpired? You're not saying it's not going to, but, you know, is there anything that comes to your mind? I'm going to ask Logan as well, in our, you know, kind of our own mission, our own action plan for the year. Is there anything that really hasn't kicked off yet for you? You know,
YouTube.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I did that, like, want to try and be more proactive about, but it's been like one step forward, two steps back, or something like that.
Yep.
That's pretty much how YouTube has been so far.
Sure. And you being a cinematographer and a person that, you know, primarily focuses on video, YouTube is the YouTube outlet or avenue is a huge thing for you.
Yeah.
And I know you and I talk about that a lot. And
it's very difficult to get, like, into.
Sure.
I always end up, like, doing something or filming something for YouTube with intention of uploading it, and I'll, like, edit it, and then I'll go film a wedding or go do something else like that, and then my mind gets taken away.
Sure.
You know, and then I end up not coming back to it.
Yeah, right. Trace, you're over there thinking.
Yeah, a lot of the things that maybe I had thought of that we haven't done yet really relate maybe more to the magazine. And it was more of a prioritization on my end of whether or not I should spend my time and resources of trying to do this versus that. We at some point, I'm saying this was we've been saying this for 2 years. At some point, we have got to get some people to go door to door to try to sell subscriptions. That's probably one thing I know that I have not done that I said I'm going to do.
Right.
Outside of that, truly, though, I mean, I'm not here to say that I've done everything in my life that I've wanted to since July. But most of the time, maybe my greatest asset is if I see something, I want to do it. I'll do it if I have the money to be able to do that.
Right. So sure.
It's, you know, not that we need to get into it, but yep. But probably the van out there probably speaks to that more than anything. If you knew that I was cutting holes into my $30,000 van to put my own windows in, because I've watched enough YouTube clips where I felt like I could do it instead of paying, you know, the auto glass store right. locally in town. You know, people think I'm kind of crazy, and I am, but most of the time I do what I want to try to do.
Sure,
and
sure.
That's one thing, though. You put me on the spot, I'd say that's the one thing I haven't done. So if there's any high school kids out there that want to walk door to door, we'll give them some kind of commission structure to make it worth their time. But
yeah, awesome.
But yeah.
I think
yeah.
that van would make a great YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was blown away with it.
Have you seen it? Have you seen the van?
No, I haven't seen it. I just saw the like rendering. Yeah.
So, we'll go check it out. We'll go check it out after this.
Yeah. That's cool. Did you drive it today?
Yeah, I brought it here.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
You really haven't seen the inside of it either, have you?
Not so, you had the ceiling. You had the solar panels, the ceiling, lights.
Okay.
And you turned the lights on for me, but that's
good.
That's
so
all.
So you're into surprise for it.
Awesome. Cool. Cool. Kind of, you know, it's something I thought of. I'm just going to jump on this. It's thought, the thoughts in my head, and it's less about reflection, but you mentioned YouTube, and you know, and again, a lot of times what we want to try to do comes down to priority and how our minds even prioritize what we focus on. And then we have work-life balance and all that kind of stuff. But we also have outside influences that can, you know, I love outside influences. I consume information daily. But then a lot of ways lately, probably that would be what I would offer that I'm doing differently. And I thought I was doing the beginning of the year is I'm actually focusing on less influencers than I was at the beginning of the year. And it's actually beginning to free me up because, you know, it kind of takes you into that comparison mode. And we've always talked information is great. Resources, sponge it up, be influenced by our favorite creators or our favorite business people. But at a certain point, we almost have to turn that off because then it begins to stop us from moving forward. So where I wanted to tie this at is, you know, not saying that's where you're at in YouTube, but you and I do talk a lot about how that comparison does stop us from throwing the camera up and doing a vlog or podcasting or doing whatever. Yes. I kind of swing it back to Trace. You have, I'm sure, influences that even today, and those could be business people because you're in the business world, in essence.
Certainly.
But maybe you weren't influenced so much, and it allowed you to just chase after your vision. You know, I mean, yeah, you had life experiences, and you got people, and you listen to probably podcasts and follow people, but... You know, did you consume a lot of that to motivate you to a certain point? But you made the comment that you just kind of, you get a vision and you just go with it, and you didn't have experience and you didn't have all that. So you were able to think outside the box. You were able to probably break rules that a lot of people go, ooh, you don't break that rule.
Right.
You know, to move forward, you don't do that. You know, does that, my question make sense or
absolutely
what I'm throwing out on the table?
Yeah, there's two people that come to mind that really kind of set my mindset. I wouldn't say that I took every idea or every ideology that they had and I had to apply it to every principle of business that I wanted to pursue. Two of those people, the one would be Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
I read a few books and watched every documentary there was and probably watched way too many YouTube clips of him. And,
sure.
And it really is a fascination of a guy that... that built something that's really remarkable from what he originally thought maybe it would become, you know. Yeah, I know that he had said that his vision was to have everybody have a personal computer, and he thought he had this vision, but even turning an iPhone, you know, the iPhone and all the things that he had lived through to see from when he was in a garage, starting with, you know, just a basic computer that me and you would probably laugh at, or the world would laugh at if it was brought out today. But there was a couple things I took away from him that I use, which is I was never great in school. I was never a bookworm. I was never someone that you would say, oh, I can't, he's going to grow up to be an incredible success. To where I kind of had an underdog mentality when it came to that side of things, to where it was like, you know, am I smart because I didn't get straight A's? Because I'm smarter in these areas that right. maybe I wasn't tested on in school or these types of things. And I know Gary Vee gets into that a lot. That's not my second guy, but I know Gary Vee talks about that a significant amount when he does his speaking engagements and things of that nature. But the one thing I took away from Steve Jobs is that really when you peel back all the layers that come with society, if you just have an idea, then who's to tell you whether you can and can't do it? And it's kind of what I've taken away from him, right? And I can't pull the quote right off the top of my head, but it's to the extent of everybody tells you have a good life, have a good family life, don't spend too much money, save a bunch of money, go on vacation, do these types of things. And when you realize that the world is so much more vast than that and it allows you to do so many other things than that, then nothing really at that point can hold you back or stop you because your right. mindset has changed. And I think that's one part of it. And the other part of it was the other guy that I really, which sounds crazy, if you start listening to him, he'll have some foul language. I'll forewarn you if you're going to listen to him. That way you don't think I led you in the wrong direction. It's not Gary. So if I'm saying that Gary's not using foul language, you'll know. is Grant Cardone.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Grant Cardone, but he's more of a sales guy, and his whole life is really been about battling back from adversity, and again, came from a lower middle class family, didn't have a lot of money, which felt similar to my nature, to where when you grow up poor to an extent, not that I need to get in a sermon here, when you grow up poor to a certain extent, you don't feel like there's a lot of resources out in the world, right?
Right.
You think that there's not a lot of people have money, or there's just a select few people that are super rich, and that's kind of who controls everything. But then when you grow up to a certain point, like, you know, he said something one time in a video that made me just shift my mindset to when I go into meetings or I go somewhere, you know, if you're offering a good product that can help somebody, they have the money to spend. And a lot of people in sales will assume when they go into an appointment that, oh, they're not going to have the money. No matter what I say in here, they're going to say no because I got to look at the budget or this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. When that's really not the truth, it just comes down to whether or not you can portray and convince somebody that you can help them.
Right.
And he had said, and whether this is true or not true, I don't know. I've never done the fact checking on this, but he said every person in the world could be a millionaire. There's enough money in the world that every single person in this world could be a millionaire. If every single person had $1 million, there's actually enough money for that to happen. And when you think of that, you think, wow, you know, it is out there. It's just a matter of working to find the resources to be able to pay for things. It's not all about money. I don't mean it to sound like that. It's just that made my mindset go from, if there's something I want to accomplish, I just go after it and don't allow outside influences to affect me. And then the other side of it is there are people out there that have the resources to be able to help you fulfill those dreams and goals that you have, you know, and there's a lot of people out there willing to help you, a significant amount of people. There might be a few people that say no, but the vast majority of people that have success in life are willing to help those that are reaching out for help too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, those are the two people that I idolized. And as far as, you know, I wouldn't say that I took every single thing from them and followed it, you know, like a Bible or something of that nature. But I certainly used them as motivation. I certainly used them as resources to say, you know, would Steve Jobs quit in this situation, or would Grant Cardone quit in this situation?
Right.
No, you know, you just, this is one of those hurdles that you just have to jump over and keep going.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's that.
And it is about good product. You know, we talk about that in creativity. You know, it doesn't, I mean, if you have good product, or, you know, you hate to use the quote, the phrase content is king, but there's some truth to that. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you have a message or you have value that people need, you know, it really doesn't matter if you have a lot of money, if you have the best gear, it really comes down to you're offering yourself, you're following your heart, you're following your drive. And that's something I think that's where I'm at in a different place today than I was at the beginning of the year. It's like I'm really embracing who I am and what my vision is, regardless of what's popular, regardless of, in just enjoying the creativity process for me, you know. And I wrote a blog this past week about, you know, what's your rhythm? because, you know, society and influences will tell you to a certain point, you know, we don't take everything said to us. We take the nuggets out of it that we feel really apply to where we're at and, you know, what lines up with who we are. But, you know, those influences will tell us to be a certain way. But then I believe you have to start out following your own rhythm, mm-hmm. you know, and get that discipline. And then you can build upon that. If you try to start out of the gate at someone else's pace, at someone else's level,
yeah,
that's where we just crash and burn. You know, you have to really embrace who you are, embrace your vision, and then don't matter what everybody else is doing. Just, you know, go.
That's because what works for someone else may not work for you. You know,
right.
Kind of got to do your own thing, figure out your own path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're going to fail, I've always thought this too. If you're going to fail at something, why not fail the way that you thought was right?
Yeah, right.
It'd be really tragic to go out and try to start something that's really not your original thought or what you thought. You try to follow someone else's footsteps and then you fail, and then you think back and you say, well, would I have been successful if I did it my way?
Right, sure.
I'd rather just do it my way, and if I fail, then so be it. You know, right. You live with it and you learn from it and
sure.
You move on.
So. Yeah. Cool. Well, speaking of influences, real quick, Logan, throw out a couple influences that...
Just generally
for you right
speaking,
now, just generally right now, and you're in right now today. What's the top two influences?
I will say you are always a pretty top influence as well. Oh,
thank you.
Brownie points there.
I know.
There's someone that just popped in your head, Logan. Just say the person that popped in your head. Go ahead. Somebody.
I'm kind of stuck between like two people, because Aaron Malloy has always been pretty inspiring to me as well too, and then also Shane Pergam as of recently with
sure.
Charter Studios.
Yep.
Being able to work with him more, him starting like his own business from scratch and running that, and he has like three kids, like single dad, like doing all of that,
right.
And that's pretty inspiring. Like if he can do all of that, I mean, anybody can do it.
Sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yep. And for me, you know, I'd listen to some Gary Vee. He's probably in my top three.
I know you're a Gary Vee guy.
Yeah, I like Gary Vee. I like his approach. And then, you know, I've said it on previous podcasts, I think probably in the last 6 months, a big influencer to me has been that Eric Kim. Mm-hmm. And to most people, he's probably a nobody. Who is that guy? And he travels the world. He's a street photographer, does workshops, and... he does no social media, but he just manages his website. And his big premise is he didn't take off as his own creator until he shut off, you know, trying to keep up with the pace of the world and try to keep up with what everybody else was doing. Mm-hmm. And he just focused on his vision. And, you know, yeah, I think that's, you know, that's the things that kind of, those two come to the top of my head right off. But, yeah, it's been pretty cool.
He's the one that has everything's on his website, right? That's like where he lives.
Yeah, he doesn't do he's doing YouTube now, but he doesn't do Instagram and mm-hmm. Twitter and all the other Facebook. You know, he kind of stays out of that and you know, tries to bring it all to just one place. And but anyway, that's he really kind of changed my mindset in how I look at some things. So it's pretty cool. So, well, guys, man, I appreciate this. Has been a cool episode. Trace, man, it's been awesome to have you here. I will say you have been an inspiration to me. Logan and I was just talking the other day, and I think it was before you came up mm-hmm. and met with Trace and talked about some of the things coming up. And, you know, just like with this new vision you guys have for the sports.
Yeah.
You know, just to have that and to, you know, come up and see what's been done, hear what's been done, and know that you've kind of, you know, all in, 100%,
all in,
throwing everything at
we
it.
We are all in.
You know,
that's in the middle of the table.
Yeah, that's inspiring. You know, that's watching somebody that has that vision and says, I'm chasing after it 100 miles an hour, you know,
right.
And we're going to do this thing. And to your point, we're going to fail doing what we love to do.
That's
not
right.
That you're going to fail, but if
right.
you do,
it's possible.
You know, you're going to walk away going, I threw everything I had. And,
absolutely.
So that's cool. Real quick before we get off here, you want to see, tell us where people can connect with the magazine and what's going on with you.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in the Hamiltonian, our website is just hamilton.com, not to be confused with hamilton.com, but it's JUST hamilton.com. I thought that was a good URL before I realized I had to tell everybody and they were going to hamilton.com right. like we owned that. But no, it's JUST hamilton.com.
Cool.
So yeah, it's $35 a year. I think it's a great value, pretty much break even on that. Some people think we're crazy for making it so, you know, cheap or affordable. It's less about the money when it comes to printing the publications and having people pay to read it.
Sure.
It's more about just having as many people read it as we possibly can, because obviously our business model is more geared towards the advertisers and trying to help them succeed, and that's kind of where our revenue comes from. So from a readership standpoint, if you're interested in that, you can find us at the Flea sometimes in Hamilton. If you're in Fairfield and or Middletown, those are free publications.
Okay.
Those can be picked up at the government buildings in each of those communities. And then from there, yeah, I mean, the sports is coming July 15th. And hopefully, you know, if you have an interest in sports, hopefully we can be some kind of outlet that will allow them to have some more entertainment and more fun. And one thing I'll say really quickly, I told someone this the other day, you know, you obviously have some listeners that maybe have some creativity-minded things, and you hold yourself back in certain situations because you might be fearful if you fail or not fail. And some people look at me and ask me why in the world I, you know, like, even my family, right? And like, I have family members that think I'm crazy and that you know, I'm probably not going to be successful in these things because it just sounds too outlandish, right? But ultimately, I'm glad that I've had some success already, because it kind of gives you some credibility at some certain point. But really, ask yourself the question, if you live in the United States of America, not to get too philosophical here, but if you live in the United States of America, what's the worst that could possibly happen when you fail? I mean, really, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? You're not going to starve. You know, it's not like you're going to die because you took a chance on a business idea and you failed on it. Now, I get that there's some things that you just can't possibly do because you put your family in a tough spot.
Some things have more risk than others.
Yeah. But ultimately, if you ever have something you want to do, you just ask yourself the point blank question of, what's the worst thing that can happen to me if I fail? And if you live in the United States, which is a blessing for a lot of us and all of us, is it's really not that bad.
Right.
And that's kind of why did I do what I do? So, that's one little food for thought that I thought about the other day that I think's relatively inspiring. Just to be able to live in this country. So
awesome. Logan, anything before we cut out?
I don't know. I'm blank.
He's blank. Something. He's got good coffee, good podcast. Well, guys, this has been awesome. Trace, hopefully maybe we can get back in front of a mic together in the future. Now. And did you hear something?
I think Logan finally said he came to grips.
All right, back to you.
I was trying to figure out my thought, but I was going to say, if you're going to run a race, why not give it 110%? That's what my dad always used to say, some people look at me like it's crazy, like 110%. Well, it's over 100%. That's not possible, but I think it's kind of like, you have your mental vision of what you can achieve at 100%, but you can achieve more than that.
Sure. Right. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Can. Absolutely.
So,
all right, guys, episode 34 is a wrap. And thanks again. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Everybody listening, thanks for tuning in, checking this out. We love to hear some feedback. Leave us a message in the comments or a voice message on Anchor. You can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I said Anchor and Google Podcast. So
everywhere.
So it's been great, and we're out, guys. Peace.
Later.